Today's stuff is Kulin Kufav. We're going to start on Kuf Hei Amud Bet, about 13, 14 lines from the bottom. The Amar Abai. Oh, by the way, I looked up this Atacha, the case right before that we ended with. Abai said, originally I thought that you don't eat Yerakot that fell on the table. So I saw there's different Nuskhaot that say that fell from the table, which makes a lot more sense. They fell onto the floor. That Nuskhaot makes a lot more sense. Because I said I wasn't sure what exactly this meant, it fell on the table. So one could say it fell from the table onto the floor. Okay, next one. Amar Abai, Meresh Hava Amina. Remember, we're in this section where Abai keeps saying, I thought that people didn't do these. By the way, are all minhagim. They have to do with food-related, minhagim of Seuda. He says, originally I thought, except for, we're going to see this one's a little bit different, Dilo, Havamina hai dilo yatve tute marzeva mishum shofchim. Okay, one shouldn't stand under the marzev, that's the gutter, the water's coming out, mishum, right, from, let's say, the roof, mishum shofchim. Okay, so you could say maybe this is a little connect, even though it's not hulchot suda, but it has to do with water, contaminated water. So here the concern is that there's waste coming out of the waters. It's contaminated possibly. And therefore, you shouldn't stand under there. It's not healthy. Amar limar mishum dishchichei mazikim. But Rabba told him it's because there's demons there. So now we're going to hear a story. Hanushkolai. There were these porters that were carrying wine. Dehavudara chavita dechamer. They were carrying barrels of wine. Baulit puche. They wanted to rest. Otvua tote marzeva, they put the, now here it's interesting, it says don't sit under the marzev. Here they put, they weren't sitting themselves, but when they went to rest, they put the barrel of wine under the gutter. Paka, it burst open, and obviously they lost all the wine. Atu lekame demar ravashi, they went in front of ravashi, they wanted to get paid back for their loss. Now, who's going to pay them back for this loss? So, who other than a demon? Apik Shufre, so he took out shofarot, and they blew the shofarot. That was like a way of getting the demon to come. Shamte, and Marav Ashi put the demon in nidoy, okay, an excommunication. Okay, it seems that it's a way, or potentially maybe he threatened him, he was going to put him in excommunication. Somehow it was a way of calling the demon to come to the court, so to speak. Atalakame, so the demon shows up, it worked. Amalei, Amaiti Abedhachi, why did you do this? Why did you break the guy's barrel of wine? Interesting conversation going on with him and the demon. Why did you break the barrel of wine? Amalei, Hechiyavi, Kiotve Bone. What should I have done? The barrel was sitting on my ear. Okay, on my ears. Amalei. So now he says to him back, At Beduchta Deshchiche Rabbi, my bite. What are you doing in a place where there's a lot of people? Atu Dishani, you change the rules. Demons, you're not supposed to hang out in a public place. You were hanging out in a public place. You shouldn't have been there. That's why the barrel ended up in your ears. It's your fault for breaking the barrel. Because you changed, Atu Dishani, Zil Shlem, you have to pay. Amarle, Hashanami, Likbali Mar Zimna Ve'efra. So the demon says, okay, I guess you're right. I shouldn't have been there. So just give me an amount of time and I'll pay you back the money. Kavale Zimna, he set a time, right? This is classic in, regular Dina Mamono, right? Where somebody has X amount of time to produce the money. Kimata Zimna, Iate. But when the time came that he was supposed to pay the money, he didn't show up. Kiata, when he finally did arrive, very late, Amarle, Amai lo atik bizman chai, says to the demon, hey, why didn't you show up on time and pay your money? So Amarle, Komile de tsir vachatim vachayel umane, late lam reshuta lemishkamine ademishkacha midi dehefkera. He says, I don't have access to all the money in the world. If things are bound, sealed, counted up, what's chayel? I forgot what that word is. My money is counted up.
Wrapped, sealed, measured, or counted.
Measured, okay. If it's measured or counted, I don't have the ability to take from there. Okay, if someone's got there, this is what's this classic of, right? If you protect, right, you take care of your money, then the demons can't get to it. The only time I can get to your money is unless I find something of hefkera. Okay, when it's hefkera, I can take it, but I didn't find anything hefkera, so I didn't have any access to money, right? It's not like I can earn money. The only way I can get money is hefkera. Okay, this, by the way, Tosfot, I think it's right, Tosfot in Tani says that the Gemara there says, "Ein habracha mitzuya lo b'davar shakul v'lo b'davar madu v'lo b'davar manoi ela b'davar samoy min ha'ayin." When you're looking for a bracha in your stuff, in other words, you're looking for a windfall, when does that happen? Not in something that's measured. Once it's measured, nothing's going to change. Right? It's like people who say, you know, I don't know, you want to pray that you get a good grade on a test. If the test is already graded, there's nothing to do about it, right? You can't look for any. So it's like this. Once you measure it, nothing's going to happen to it. It's the earlier stage before it's measured and weighed and tied up. That's when they can get to it. So he says, before it's measured, then he says you can pray to God that he'll give you a bracha. But after that, there's no hope. It's already done. And that's the early stage. That's when the demons can get to you. And that's why that's the time for prayer. Because that's when it's susceptible to all sorts of things happening while it's growing, before you collect it, all that kind of thing. Okay. So now... okay, so that's the end of this story. Ba'amar Abaye, again Abaye says, Meresh Havamin, originally I thought, Ahayda Shademaya mi Puma Dechatzva Mishum Tzivta. The people pour out the top of the, if you have water in a jug, they pour out the top layer. I thought it was because of little twigs and dirt that might get into the water. Amar Limar, but again, Rabba told me, Mishum De'ika Mayim Haraim, because there's bad waters. Again, it seems that Rashi says, "Pa'amim sheshatamehem shade." Sometimes a demon might have drunk from them, and therefore we pour off the top because of the assumption. It's interesting why that assumption, but we all know that water mixes up. That's the whole thing. I've seen that even in sugyot and stuff about liquids. But the assumption is if you pour off the top layer, that's where the demon drunk from.
It's interesting
that
you mentioned snakes. They always tell
me snakes. Right, it's true. No snakes here. Hahu bar Shadia. Now we have bar Shida. There was the son of a demon. Okay, after all these terrible demon stories, all of a sudden we're going to see a good demon. There was the son of a demon, Dehava Beir of Papa, that was in the house of Rav Papa. He was apparently working as a shamash. Okay, here we learn that demons are masked as, right, exactly. They're mingling among us and they look like regular people. Azalatuye Mayaminahara. So he went to get water from the river for Rav Papa, or the stream. Iakev, he took a really long time. Kiata, when he finally came, Amrule, Amai Yakvit. Okay, interesting, like the last story where he delayed, right? Why were you so late in coming? Amar the who, Adachalfe Mayim Haraim. I was waiting till all the bad water passed, and then I would take the good water. Adahachi, in the meanwhile, Chazinhu Dekashadu Mayami Puma Dechatzva. He saw, though, that once he brought the water, the people, before they drank it, they poured out the top of the water. Amar, Ihavigadina, Deregilutu, Lemeabed, Kachi, Lo Iakve. If I had known that they normally pour off the top of the water, I wouldn't have waited so long. I would have brought it right away, and then they could have poured off the top. So we see here, there's two ways of avoiding it. One is to kind of let all the bad waters go and then take all the good waters. The question is, some people say, why didn't he just tell them he should do that? So there's a bunch of different answers given. Some people say maybe he was worried someone might drink it and not have gotten the message. First of all, you have to wonder in general why the son of a demon was helping them. Okay, he's also called the son of a demon, not a demon, although he seems to be called a demon.
The son of, just as a certain demon. It's interesting. I don't know.
Okay, so I saw a different translation that actually called him the son of a demon. But anyway, right, so it seems like he really is a shade, some sort of demon, even if he's the son of a demon. Some people say that he couldn't have told them because he'd get in trouble with the other demons if he actually told them. So instead he came up with some surreptitious way to avoid them getting into problems without actually having to verbalize anything. Okay, that's the end of these stories. Okay, although we're going to see a bit of a continuation, not of the same genre, but I think connected to the same concept. Again, how we view these stories is always a good question about how we, you know, look at stories where they talk about demons as if they're real and magic in the Talmud, and do they believe it was true or not?
It's interesting that Abaye every time made an assumption, which was a logical assumption to get off the splinters or like
yes.
Things that made sense, and every time Mar came back with something that, you know, we really wouldn't have thought of.
Exactly. So what's going on here is basically Abaye thinks these minhagim are natural, practical reasons. And comes Rabbah and says, no, 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 there's something mystical about them. And the question is, one option is that Rabbah really believed that these were mystical, that there were mystical reasons for all these things, or however you want to define it, you know, magical reasons. Another is, like we said, scare tactics. Now, if you think it's just because of cleanliness or, you know, not healthy, so you might not be so careful about it. But if remember, Rabba was not only his rabbi, but also his adoptive father. So could be that he wanted to make sure that Abaye took this seriously, and to do that, he used scare tactics, right? And kind of worded it in this way to make it, you know, really... Okay, those are two possibilities. I want to raise a third option, which is I researched a little bit about Rabba, and apparently he had a rough life. Like, things didn't go easy for him. He died young. People in his family died young. They say he had the curse of Eli in his family, that they were to die young. And he didn't have a very easy life. And it could be, and people say, you know, he's like one of these proofs that here you do all the right things, and yet you don't really end up with such a good life. And it could be that his approach was to think, maybe he believed, because of his situation, it affected how he viewed things. And maybe he thought, well, I know I'm keeping all these things, but maybe the other things I'm not so careful about, maybe those actually have mystical meanings, and maybe there's demons chasing me. And it goes back to what we saw in Bracha, which I always go back to, is this line about, you know, if you see the demons, then they'll chase you. And if you don't see them, then they won't, you know. And someone who believes in them, they might actually, you know, there's, again, it's psychological. What does that mean? It means that you're psychologically creating demons in your mind. And maybe he had a complex, you know, based on what his struggles were, that kind of someone was out to get him. And maybe it's connected with his life situation. So that's another, let's say, food for thought in the context of food and minhagei seudah. Okay, moving on. Ki'ata Rav Dimi, okay, I mentioned, by the way, by mistake yesterday, that there's a story about the Mayim Achronim, famous story. It's not in Brachot, it's in Yoma. Okay, it's in today's daf. Ki'ata Rav Dimi Amar, Mayim Harishonim He'echtilu Basar Chazir, Achronim Hotziu Et Aisha Mibala. When Rav Dimi came, he said, someone who wasn't careful about Mayim Rishonim ended up getting fed pig. Achronim, someone who didn't do Mayim Achronim, caused a situation where Hotziwa Tishami Ba'ala. Okay, a woman got divorced from her husband. I'm just going to read on one little bit more, and then we're going to go back and explain what's going on here. Kiata Rabin Amar, when Rabin came from Eretz Israel, he had a different version of both these stories. Amar Rishonim He'echilu Basar Nevela. Okay, he thinks it wasn't Chazir the guy ate, it was actually Nevela the guy ate. Achronim Hargua Tanefesh. Mayim Achronim caused someone to actually be killed, not divorce his wife, but actually to kill somebody. So, or someone to be murdered. So, what are these stories? So, here's a reference. It doesn't tell the story here, but it's a reference to two stories. So, the Hechilo Basar Chazir, Rashi explains, there was a Chen Vani Yisrael that would sell Basar Shkutari Yisrael. And when a De Kochavim would come to his story, he had like a, you know, I don't know if he had separate kitchens, but he was selling both kosher and non-kosher food in his restaurant. So if he would come in and you washed Netilat Yadayim, he'd know you were Jewish and he'd feed you kosher meat. And the guy didn't wash Netilat Yadayim, so he assumed he was a non-Jew and he fed him chazir. Now this story seems strange. Why would the guy have a restaurant that was serving basar b'chalav? Some people say that it was Shat HaShmad and he wasn't allowed to keep a kosher restaurant. So what did he do? He kind of surreptitiously kept this kosher restaurant, and the code was, go wash a tilat yadayim, and then I'll know to serve you this, and if not, I'll serve you pig. Now, it's a question also, was he serving pig, or was he just serving nevela, right? It would make a lot more sense to say he was just serving nevela. But if it was Shat HaShmad, we can imagine maybe he really had to sell pig, because, you know, if you say he was selling pig, how could a Jew be making business off of a non-kosher restaurant? There's issues with that, you know, and whatever, we're not going to get into that. But anyway, in the end, he ended up, you know, accidentally feeding this person because he didn't wash Mayim Rishon. Okay, the case with the Ishami Ba'ala, so it's in the last parak in Yom, Pei Gimel, and so there's a story where basically Rashi doesn't give us the details, but a bunch of rabbis were at an inn, and one of them, the guy's name was Kidur, and they said, oh, Kidur Ktafei Chotema, this is a reference, this is a bad guy. Anyway, they gave him his money to watch, the guy stole their money, then they came to get the money back, and they went to the wife, and they basically said to the wife, your husband told us to give us our money back. And what he told us to tell you was that he ate lentils for dinner, I think it was last night or something. And the question is, this was the code, and she gave them based on the code. How did they know that he had lentils? Because they saw lentils. There's a debate whether it was on his mustache or on his hands. Now, and because he didn't do my machronim, that's why he ended up with the lentils. Now, you have to wonder, why were they on his mustache? My machronim was on his hands. That's why some people say it was his hand. Some people say, no, because he didn't wash his hands, so then he touched his mustache and had lentils on his mustache. Or that maybe some people say, my machronim, you're supposed to then take and, you know, use the water and clean your face. So because of that, what happened? The guy then found out that the wife returned the money, got very angry at her, and according to one version, he divorced her. According to another version, he murdered her. Okay, so that's the story of the Maya Machronim. So if you're not scared into Maya Machronim after that story. So those are the two stories. Okay, if you notice also, according to Rav Dimi, the Mayim Rishonim had very bad Basar Chazir is worse than Nevela, but according to Ravin, the other story was more severe because she got murdered rather than divorced. Unless you say divorce is worse than murder, but I imagine, you know, even if in those days it was pretty bad, but I don't think it was that bad. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak gives us a siman to remember who said what. Ata Rav Dimi Afka, Rav Dimi came and kicked her out, which means she got divorced according to his version. Ata Ravin Katla, Ravin came and killed her, meaning he had the version that, I don't know how exactly you're supposed to remember that, but somehow if you can remember Rav Dimi Afka and Ravin Katla, then you can remember it. Rabbi Abba matnu chada mehane v'chada mehane l'chumra. Rabbi Abba taught it that it was, each version was l'chumra, meaning it was the basar chazir and the woman got killed. Okay, that's the end of that section. Again, this seems connected, number one, to the Maya Machronim, but it connects very much so to this fear tactic of, again, scare tactics. You know, if you don't do this, look what could happen to you. Okay, Rabbi Abba matne chada, I'm sorry, Itmar. Okay, now we're going to have a machlok between two machlokot between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan about Netilat Yadayim. Chameha, okay, if you're, just to remind you, we had this sugya in the end of Kufhei Amud Aleph. We saw Mayim Rishonim Notzlim Bein B'Chamim Bein B'Tzonein, and Mayim Achronim Ein Notzlim Ela B'Tzonein, because the Chamim, right, don't take off the Zuama. So then we said, Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef said in the name of Rav Yanai, when it says, Mayim Rishonim Notlim Bein B'Chamim Bein Mitzonein, not if it's burning hot. If it's burning hot, you can't do it. And then there was a different version that said, no, you could even wash Mayim Rishonim with the waters burning hot. So now the question is how the sugya connects with that. There's a debate exactly about it. So the sugya now talks about Chamei Ha'or, which means water that was heated up by a fire. So now the debate is, if it was heated up by a fire, is it Yad Soledipo or is it not Yad Soledipo? Does it contradict the previous sugya or does it not contradict the previous sugya? Okay, I'm not going to go into all the details, but that's the basic here. So Chamea or Chizkia Amar Einot Limehem Liyadayim. So again, if Chizkia says this is burning hot water, then that matches what we said, that according to the opinion that what he meant was you couldn't use burning hot water. But according to the first version of Rabbi Yanai. But if he says it isn't Yad Soledipo, then he actually contradicts that source, because that source said, Bein Betzonein, Bein Bechamin, you could wash Mayim Rishonim as long as it's not Yad Soledipo. And then Chizkiah would be saying something other than that, and Rashi views it that way. And Rashi says, oh, it's no problem, because Chizkiah, where does he say it? The Chizkiah Tanahu, okay, and Ein Notzlimehem Mayim Rishonim Upalig Adalael. Rashi says he's disagreeing, actually. The Chizkiah Tanahu says Chizkiah has the status of a Tana. He was one of the early Amoraim and has the status of a Tana, so he can disagree. So Chizkiah says, Ein Notzlimehem Liyadayim, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Notzlimehem Liyadayim, you could take water that was heated up by the sun, no problem. Okay, what's the reason? Because the water, we're going to see the difference between this and Chamei Tveria, because the water was originally okay, it could be used, and just by heating it up, it doesn't actually change, this is all, right, doesn't actually change the property of the water, therefore you can actually still use it. But Chizkiah says no. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sha'alti et Rabban Gamliel b'no shel Rabbi. I asked Rabban Gamliel, the son of Rabbi. Remember, there were different Rabban Gamliels, right? They were all called after their father, grandfather, you know, grandfather, great-grandfather. So this is the son of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Ve'ochel taharot, he was someone, if you remember, there were people who ate all their food, all their chulin, as if it was tahor, right? As if it was kodshim. They treated it with tahara. Vamarli, and he said to me, so he's the guy you would know about Netilat Yadayim, and he said to me, Kol Gdolei Galil Osimken. All the Gdolim in the Galil do this, okay? They basically wash their hands with Chamei Ha'or, and therefore that's my proof, Rabbi Yochanan says, right? I see, right? Rabban Gamliel said, everybody in the Galil does this, and therefore it must be okay. But Chamei Tiberia, when it comes to Chamei Tiberia, which are, okay, there's two issues about Chamei Tiberia. One is that they're naturally hot springs. They were never not hot. Okay, they were always hot from the beginning. Number two, they say they're very bitter. And therefore, we're going to learn later that something that's not ra'oi for an animal to eat can't be used for netila yadayim. And these waters are so bitter that they can't be used. They call it bitter. It's not really bitter, right? They're sulfury. Okay. So he says, Chamei Tiberia chizkei amar ein notzlim behem liyadayim, avam matbilim behem hayadayim. You can't put your hands in there to mitaher otam. Okay, there's two different ways that you can, right? We normally, how do we wash? We don't put our hands in a mikveh, right, to wash them. We do netilat yadayim with a cup. Okay, but there's ways that you can, if you put your hands into a mikveh, right, we generally don't have that in front of us, but if you put your hands into a mikveh with 40 se'ah, basically that's another way of L'taher yadayim. Okay, this comes up in the Mishnah in Chagiga, and he says either netila, which is a revid of mayim you pour from a kli, or derech tefila, you can do it. Okay, now, what's the difference between that? The tefila and the mikvah works even for eating kodshim, whereas washing from a cup only helps for truma and chulin, if you want to eat chulin, right, with having washed your hands. We're going to talk about, today we're going to finally get to, why do we wash our hands before bread? Why before bread? Not other things, we're going to talk about that. Why bichlal before? Why do we need to wash our hands at all? We're going to get to that. But right now we're assuming that there is such a thing. One can do it either in a mikvah or in a cup. So now he says, you can't do netilat yadayim with this water, but you can put your hands in the water, okay, as if they're a mikvah. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, kol gufo tovel behem. You can use it as a mikvah for your body, aval lo panav yadav raglav, but you can't use it for your face, your hands, and your feet. Now, there's something a little weird about this face, hands, and feet, since when do we need to wash our face and our feet, right? So people say it's really just for the hands. It's just, it's often if somebody's going to put their hands, duck their hands in to clean them, they'll also, you probably use it for washing their hands and their feet. So they just kind of put these together, even though we don't really have any need to do that kind of a thing. So hashta kol gufo. So now we have a problem with Rabbi Yochanan. He says you can tovel your whole body in the mikvah, but you can't tovel your hands, basically. Let's just kind of skip the panav and raglav here. So hashta kol gufo tovel behem panav yadav raglav l'kol sheken. This doesn't make any sense. How can we say you can tovel your entire body, but you can't tovel a small part of your body? That makes no sense. Amar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa now re-explains this whole machloket. He says, bim komam, if you find a mikvah of 40 se'ah, you know, a body of water that's kosher for a mikvah, and it's all collected in one place. Everybody agrees that you can do your hands even in there. You can put your hands in and tovel them in the. If you want to take the water out from the Chamei Tiberia and put them in a cup and use that to wash your hands, everybody agrees that's aser, because you can't use Chamei Tiberia for netilat yadayim. Ki plige, what's the machloka between Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiah? Tipaskinu bebat birta. It's when you take it and the water is channeled into a ditch and it's still connected. If you remember, we talked about hashaka with a mikvah, that as long as it's touching something with 40 se'ah, you can use it, even if there isn't 40 se'ah in there. So if you take, or even if it's not water that's kosher for a mikvah, right? So if you take this water, it's in a ditch right now, it's coming from a mikvah that's kosher, it's connected to the mikvah that's kosher. In theory, you should be able to tovel your hands in there. However, Mar Savar Gazrinam Bapirta Atumana. Rabbi Yochanan, who says you can't use this for Netilat Yadayim, says we're worried that if we let you wash from this ditch, you won't see that it's connected to the main mikvah. You'll think it's no different than putting it in a cup, and you'll think that you can use this for Netilat Yadayim from a cup. So therefore, he says, you can't use water from a ditch. And Mar Savar Lo Gazrinan, and he says, what do you mean? There's no reason for it. Gzeirah Chizkiah says, it's obvious, everyone sees it's connected to the bigger pool of water, and obviously there's nothing to worry about, according to him. And now they say the machloket Chizkiah Rabbi Yochanan about this, and it's, again, this is Rav Papa's explanation of their machloket, because it didn't make sense to say, now obviously you don't have to worry about kol gufo, because usually in a ditch you're not going to tovel your whole body anyway. So I assume that's why there's a difference between panav yadav raglav, which would, you would generally, you know, oh, why is there no issue? You could act, let's say there was enough water to tovel your whole body. There's no concern you're going to think, oh, I could tovel with a cup. Right, there's no toveling with a cup. With yadav, it's either a cup or a mikvah, and therefore we don't allow it in the mikvah here, in that ditch, because you might think that you could do it in a cup. but it wouldn't be relevant for your whole body. So now they say this machloket, the way Rav Papa explained their machloket, is actually a machloket tana'im, kitanai. Mayim shenifsalu mishtiyat behema, this is what we talked about before, that one of the reasons that the chamei tveri isn't good is because it's not, an animal wouldn't drink it. Bekelim psulim, bekarka ksherim. If it's in a kli, it's pasul. If it's in the ground, it's kasher. Rabbi Shimon ben, that's what we saw before, that's what everyone agrees to. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, af bekarka tovel behem kol gufo, aval lo panav yadav v'raglav. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, when it's in the karka, you can only use your, do your whole body in it, but you can't do panav yadav v'raglav. So again, they ask on the Tanaim exactly what they asked on when the Amoraim had this debate. Hashta kol gufo tovel behem yadav v'raglav lo kol shekein. It must be that the Tanaim are talking about when they put it, they channeled it into a ditch. And this is their machloket. Demar savar gazrina babirta atumana umar savar lo gazrina. Right, one says we're gozer because you might come to put in a kli, and the other one says no, we're not gozer. So same thing here. Amar of Idi bar Avin, Amar of Yitzchak bar Ashian. Netila yadayim lechulin. Now we finally get to why do we wash our hands before eating bread? Notice, first of all, number one, bread is chulin, right? The whole, let's give some background. Why, let's just read one more word and then I'll go with the background. Mishum strach truma. Okay, what is strach truma? It means that we're worried, okay, that we want to make sure, I'll read it in Rashi, he explains it. Well, mine strach truma, toward about 10 lines from the bottom of Rashi, sheyargilu ochlei truma litol yideihem anoheget b'chulin. In other words, we want to say, hinhiguha b'chulin, it should say. In other words, we want to make sure that the kohanim wash their hands before eating truma, and therefore what goes there on everybody when they eat chulin. Now that's a big zera, right? It's very interesting. Netila yadayim, if you think about it, it's such a basic in our religion. And yet, the reason for it is so far removed. Because number one, they were metakein it for everybody, not just kohanim, so that the kohanim don't end up eating truma without washing their hands. Number two, we don't even have truma nowadays, so it's really far off, right? But the reason is that we don't forget, the concept of washing your hands before truma, and for whatever reason, this kind of stuck, right? Even though the reason for it is really not super relevant anymore. So, what's the issue with strach truma? So if you look at the beginning of Rashi, he says, okay, I'm in the Rashi, Dibor Matchil, Nitilat Yadayim L'chulim Mipnei Strach Truma. Hu Tzricha Shehayadayim Shniot. If you remember this, what did we talk about? That hands can be Sheni L'tuma. Uposlot Et HaTruma. We've seen this before. That hands could be Sheni. And then your hands, and as if your hands come in contact with something, they could be a sheni lituma. There's all sorts of things that create a situation where your hands become a sheni. A sheni can contaminate a shlishi, only an issue for truma or kodshim. And therefore, because your hands can be shniot, and what do we say? Yadayim askaniotim, right? Your hands get into everything. They get dirty, they get contaminated, and they treated dirt a little bit as tuma. Okay, and here I think also there's a bit of a crossover between what we saw yesterday in the, both yesterday and what we started today, so about cleanliness being sort of connected with either tuma or, right, that they viewed almost dirt as tuma, okay? That there was some sort of crossover, at least at some point it was viewed that way. Yeah?
No, I think it might also be a way to elevate the common man. Because if you think about it, Kohanim and regular people were eating together all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's a social construct eating together. If only the Kohanim get up to eat, mm-hmm. to wash. So maybe this was a way to just make it, it's an easy thing to give to everybody.
To create sort of equality. Also, you have to remember, in a time when everybody was, again, not everybody, but the Prushim were eating stuff al taharata kodesh, right? They were treating all of their stuff as if it was kodeshim, meaning they had to keep, they kept laws of tum and tara. Then it also makes sense in that context that then they'd also be washing their hands before eating. So that's also true. Now, part of the issue is, why is it only on bread? Okay? So there's two reasons given, right? This is classic. Well, in theory, if we're worried about it, should be on anything where truma, right? Vegetables, fruits, all that stuff. So one answer given is that bread was what they were kovei asuda. It was the basic way of saying at every meal. And every meal there was bread, so they said it on bread. You know, it's always interesting, just like Burkhan Amazon, right? It seems crazy sometimes. You have this huge steak dinner with steak and potatoes and string beans, and you make a boret of fashot after, you know, right? Like, it wasn't supposed to be that way. They always had their meals with bread. So, you know, nowadays we don't always do that anymore. But there, in the context of that, it makes perfect sense. Every time you eat bread, that's a meal. That's one answer. Another answer is that most of the truma was from the Dagan. That was the majority of the truma was from there. So because that was the majority of the truma, they went by what the majority, you know, the basic. Okay. Again, since it's only a gzera, so they weren't going to be gozer on everything, so they were gozer on where the majority of the truma came from, and that was the Dagan, the wheat, and that was, you know, that made the bread. Okay, so let's move on with the, we'll continue now with the Srach Truma. So number one, Nitzvah Yadayim L'Chulim Mipnei Srach Truma, Ve'od Mishum Mitzvah. Okay, so now we're going to have to say my mitzvah. What does that mean, mitzvah? Now, it sounds like he's saying there's two reasons. One is Srach Truma, and one is for the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, what's mitzvah? Amar Abayim, mitzvah l'shmoa, Dibrei Chachamim. It sounds like, right, if after hearing it's just because of Srach Truma, you might think, oh, I'm not going to take this so seriously anymore. But the rabbi, so that's why he adds Mishum Mitzvah. In other words, it's a mitzvah, l'shmoa, l'divrei Chachamim, and the fact that the Chachamim were gozer to do this, you have to keep it. That's one option. That's the way the Gemara understands it. But Tosfot, before Abai answers, understands it a little differently. If you look in Mitzvah L'Shmoa L'Divrei Chachamim, in Tosfot, V'itei Mahalo Mishum Srach Truma Tiknua, V'im Kei Mai Va'od. And the whole reason was Srach Truma, so what's this Va'od? V'yesh Lomar Tiknu Mishum Nikiyut. It could be that it was for two reasons. The mitzvah means they made it a mitzvah, and there's mitzvah meaning it's like a good thing to do for cleanliness purposes. And then it seems like the reason they did it, according to Tosfot, again, the Gemara doesn't sort of see this way, but that it was number one because of Srach Truma, and number two was so people washed their hands before they ate, because people's hands were generally, you know, more dirty than our hands are nowadays. Okay, Rava Amar Mitzvah L'Shmoa Divrei Rabbi Elazar Ben Arach. Sorry. Amar Mitzvah L'Shmoa Divrei Rabbi Elazar Ben Arach. Okay, he says this is what Rabbi Elazar Ben Arach said, and he gets it from where? Dichtiv, here's his source. Okay, there's a pasuk in where is it? In Bayikra Tevav, V'kol Asher Yigabo Hazav. Remember, Zav is Tamei. Now, how does a Zav become Tahor? He goes on the mikvah, his whole body, right? So there's something strange about this pasuk. It says, anything the Zav touches, v'yadav lo shataf b'mayim, and he hadn't washed his hands in water. And the question is, what does washing his hands in water have anything to do with anything? Amar Elazar ben Arach, mikan samchu chachamim l'nitila yadayim in haTorah. Here's where they came up with the source of the Torah. It's saying two things. There's a Zav who's Tamei, and number two, there's someone who's Yadav Lo Shataf B'mayim, he's also Tamei, he has to get his hands cleaned, and that's the source. Again, it's clearly not the Pshat here, but it's a reference to Nitiba Yadayim from the Torah. Amalei Rava L'Rav Nachma, my mashma, oh, so, sorry, I didn't read further. Here he's going to say, had it, he actually learned it from this Pasuk, Dichtiv Yadav Lo Shataf B'mayim, Ha Shataf Tahor, what if, and if he had washed his hands, he'd be Tahor? Of course not. Ha Tfila Bai, the Zav needs Tfila. Ela Hachi Kamar. What it really means is, Va'acher Shelo Shataf Tameh. Anyone who doesn't wash their hands, a regular person, is Tameh, because the pasuk continues to say, V'Tameh Ad Ha'erev. Okay, if this happens to you, you'll be Tameh Ad Ha'erev. So that's how they learn. If a regular person washes, right, doesn't, has dirty hands, he's going to be Tameh. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshaya. Lo amru nitilat yadayim l'peirot, ela mishum nikiyut. Here we start to get to not just bread, but also peirot. Though some of them, people explain that, some of them freshen. Peirot just means anything other than bread, okay? That's just for cleanliness purposes, no other reason. Savurmine, chovahu deleka hamitzvika. When they heard this, they thought he meant it's not an obligation, but it's a good thing to do. Amar lehu Rava. Rava says, what do you mean? Lo chova velo mitzvah ela reshut. Okay, he says it's not a chovah, it's not even a mitzvah, it's totally optional. Upliga to Rav Nachman, and they disagree with Rav Nachman. To Amar Rav Nachman is an interesting halacha. Hanotel yadav leperot eino ela migasei haruach. If you wash your hands for peirot, you're showing I'm better than everybody else. You know, this is not appropriate. You're not allowed to do netilat yadayim for peirot. There's a big debate about this. Are we talking about peirot that are dry? Because I don't know if you remember, but karpas on Leil HaSeder, what do? We wash, I mean, I know everyone remembers this. You wash hands and you don't make a bracha. Why is that? That's because it's wet. We dipped it in liquid, and anything that dips in liquid is is mukhshar lekabel truma, and then if your hands are dirty, then they're touching something tameh. However, you don't make a bracha on it because of this gemara. This gemara basically says it's migaseh aruch, so you wash without a bracha. Okay, or some people say this sugya is only talking about dry and not wet, and that, you know, either it's talking about wet and it means without a bracha, or it's just dry. And there's a bit of a debate about how to view this and whether you can actually wash your hands. Whether some people actually say you're supposed to wash your hands anytime you eat a vegetable. If you wash a vegetable or a fruit and you don't dry it, some people are mocked to wash their hands before doing that. Most people are not, but there are people who are mocked to do that. Either mocked to dry it or mocked to do nitilayanayim before. Most people are more mocked to dry it. Right? No one really does nitilayanayim before, but they dry it for that reason. Okay, and it's just interesting about, you know, don't take things too far, you'll end up looking arrogant that you're doing so much. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Hava Ka'imna Kameh de Rabbi Ami de Rabbi Asi. I was one day, right, this is the best way to learn halacha, I was in front of Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi, I chew the Kameh of Kulka like a pere, they brought him a basket of fruits, ve'achlu v'lo mashu yadayu, they ate it without washing their hands, v'lo yavu le midi, and they didn't give me anything, interesting, and they each made a bracha achrona independently. Shma mina tlat. We can derive from here three things. Shma mina ein nitila yadayim l'peirot. That was the most obvious, right? We don't wash for fruits. Ushma mina ein mizamnim ala peirot. You don't do a zimun on fruits. Or you might have thought, oh, it's bracha mein shalosh. Let's say it's peirot of Eretz Yisrael. You know, and you do an ala eitz v'al priya eitz. Maybe you would have to do a zimun on that.
No, that's the whole thing.
Why didn't they ask him to join? Had they needed to do a zimun, they would have asked him to join so they could do the zimun. Ushma mina shnayim sha'achlu mitzvah lechalek. And also we learn that if two people eat together, it's a mitzvah that each one make their own bracha achrona. Generally, when we do a zimun, one person in those days would make the bracha for everybody, be motzi everyone. And here we learn that if it's two people, then you're supposed to do it individually. Okay, there's a whole debate about this. Okay, we don't really have time. This whole thing about whether you, whether lechatchila you're supposed to make your own bracha or you can be yosef from someone else's bracha, whether we distinguish between bracha rishona and bracha achrona for this situation. Like I'll give you an example: berkana mazon, Shabbat meal. One person makes a motzi for everybody. That's bracha rishona. But when it comes to bracha achrona nowadays, right, everybody benches on their own. Right, so there we make a distinction. Although in my family we have a minhag to also make hamotzi on our own, and that's, I realize that must be based on this, that there's an inyan that you should make your own bracha. Okay, there's something they use berovam hadrat melech, which is why one can be motzi other people, because it's better shevach to Hashem to kind of make a bracha with a lot of people. So therefore, one should make for everybody. That's what we do in hamotzi. But some people say that's only for bracha rishona and not a bracha achrona, because bracha achrona we see here it's a mitzvah lechalek. And Tosfot in Brachot distinguishes, and he says the difference is that when we sit together in the beginning of the meal, we're all about to sit together. At the end of the meal, we're about to split up, and that's why, right? That's it's cute, I would say, right? Okay. So moving on. Tanya Nami Hachi, here's a bracha that supports this. Shnayim Shachlu Mitzvah Lechalek. There it says it, right? It's a mitzvah to each make your own bracha achrona. B'med Rama Marim Shayushnehem Sofrim. But this is only if they're both knowledgeable. Aval Echad Sofer, one is a scribe, Be'echad Bor, one doesn't know anything. Sofer Mevarechu Bor Yotze. Then obviously one could be motzi the other because he doesn't know how to make bracha. Tana Rabbanan. Nitila, now we're going to talk about until what point of your finger do you wash. Okay, we're all makpid to wash up until your wrist, basically. But we're going to see here that wasn't necessarily the case. Tana Rabbanan, Nitila, now this is part of the problem with the sugya, and the reason why maybe we're all machmir is because you're going to see, it's very unclear from the wording here what exactly they mean. Nitila yadayim lechulin ad haperek. When it comes to chulin, you do it ad haperek. Hold off one second. Litruma ad haperek. Now, if those were all the same thing, then they would have just put them all together. So obviously what they mean is like this. The first knuckle, okay, look at your finger. You have two knuckles on every finger except your thumb. So the first knuckle is irrelevant because the thumb only has one knuckle. So therefore, we kind of ignore the first knuckle in general because we want to find something that's comparable to the thumb. So basically, when we talk about tchulin, ad haperek, we mean to the second knuckle. So for chulin, like nitilat yadayim that we do, which is for chulin, only up to your finger, the second finger. Nowadays, halachically, we only allow that if you don't have enough water, okay? If for some reason you have a little bit of water, so you just wash your fingertips, which are going to touch the food. When it comes to truma, until the third knuckle, which is basically where your fingers hit your palm. And kiddush adayim v'raglayim is the next perek, which is where your hand hits where the palm hits your wrist. וכל דבר שחוצץ בתפילה בגוף, חוצץ בנטילה ידיים לחולין, ובקידוש ידיים ורגליים במקדש. Okay, so they're different in terms of where you need to do it, but in terms of laws of chatzitza, if you have any sort of something, you know, separating between you and the water, you have a ring, something like that, it's all the same for whatever was true for kiddush adayim v'raglayim, which is the most chamor, will be true also for netilah adayim for chulin. Amar Rav, Rav says, okay, here's even more difficult. Ad kan lechulin, ad kan letruma. Okay, he basically just shows them, right? Which this book doesn't really help us because there's no pictures here. Okay, but the assumption is, okay, let's go by the basic assumption, second knuckle, third knuckle, right? Okay, the same way we saw before. Ushmuel amar, ad kan bein lechulin, bein letruma lechumra. We're going to go lechumra in both, meaning not lechumra until the wrist, but until the palm, okay? Between the fingers and the palm. Rav Sheshet amar, ad kan bein lechulin bein letruma lekula. He says second knuckle, both of them. Amar Barhedya, hava ke'imna kameh de Rabbi Ami, va'amar, ad kan bein lechulin bein letruma lechumra. Okay, so now another person testifies, he saw Rabbi Ami doing lechumra, meaning again, to the palm. Velo tamer Rabbi Ami mishum de kohenu, and don't think he was machmir like that because he was a kohen. Deha, Rebbe, miyasha barbarei de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who... To have Rabbi Maisha, Barbara, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Levaya. Okay, Rabbi Miyasha, the son, this grandson of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, was a Levi. Vamar, and he said, Ad kan bein lechulin bein letruma lechumra. He also said lechumra, so don't think, oh, well, that rabbi you quoted was a Kohen, and he was more machmir on this. No, which shows that, you know, one might have thought maybe we make a distinction nowadays between Kohanim and not, right? No. Okay? Now, because the sugya is so unclear, so the poskim basically are machmir to say, let's just, you know, do it until the wrist for everything, even though it doesn't seem to be the pshat of the way people understand the sugya anyway. But we're machmir on it to say until the wrist, again, unless you don't have enough water, and then, again, you know, better to do it to the palm, and worst case, to the second knuckle.